Let's stand together as we begin reading Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Let me read it again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, not some things, not the good things, all things, to whom be glory forever. Thank you. You may be seated. There are two things in this verse that I'd like for us to examine. There's a doctrine to grasp and a devotion to give. And I'd like for us to first look at a doctrine that each of us needs to grasp. It's found in the first portion of this verse. Of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. Now the word for there is a connecting word. It connects what preceded this verse to the verse itself. What has Paul been saying? Well, basically, he said in verse 33, "Oh, the depths of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His decisions." He says in verse 34, "Who has known His mind? Or who counsels the Lord?" Verse 35, "Who can make a bargain with Him? Because everything we have comes from Him in the first place." For, of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. Now this is deep doctrine. But let's see if we can't break it down and simplify it. This verse is speaking to us of God. And if we were to break it down into layman's terms, we might would say this of God. He is the architect, agent, and appraiser of all things. For instance, to be an architect means that something comes out of you. The little phrase for of Him in the Greek literally means out of Him. He's the architect. It'd be like a man who's an architect takes a piece of paper, and that blank piece of paper then becomes his work. And maybe the architect gives me the drawing and I show it to you and you say, "Wow, that's incredible. Where did it come from?" And I would say, "Well, so-and-so made it." It is of Him. All things are of God. He is the architect of them. He is the author of them. What is an agent? The word agent clarifies for us this little phrase, through Him. If you buy a house, you might have an agent who acts on your behalf. You purchase the house through the agent. All things are through God. He is the agent of all things. Are things accomplished for an ultimate purpose? Of course they are. They all go through God. I love the little phrase, history is nothing but His story. All of the history of this world is the outworking of His story. He is the agent of all things. He's the appraiser of all things. This is to Him. If you want something appraised, you take something to somebody. And what do? They tell you, they evaluate that which you have. They appraise it. And if changes need to be made, changes are made at the recommendation of the appraiser. To say that all things go to God simply means this. He appraises His story. And if things need to be tweaked, if things need to be worked out, He does it because He's the agent and the architect. And all things ultimately redound to His glory. More directly, we could say it like this. He is the source of all things. He sustains all things. And He is sovereign over all things. In a sentence, this verse could be described like this. He decrees all things. He brings all things into existence and then brings all things to pass for the ultimate purpose of His glory and honor. Of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Now let's see if we can't maybe give you some illustrations as to how this works. Let's look first of all at this universe, or what I'm calling creation. How does this apply in the creation in which we live? You know, we usually attribute what happens in this world to nature. We have this scientific explanation about the winds in the South Pacific that blow a certain direction, and as a result, the currents are such that a drought occurs over the Midwest. We see laws of nature and physics, and scientists tell us that there are always explanations as to why things happen in nature. Colossians 1:17, in speaking of the universe, says, "By Him all things consist." This word "consist" literally means hang. All things hang in the balance by God. Psalm 66, verse 7 says, "He rules," speaking of the universe, "He rules by His power." Psalm 135, verse 7, "He causes the fog, He makes the lightning, He brings the wind." So even when we talk about creation, we're talking about of Him, through Him, to Him. Whether it be the stars above us, the seas below us, the weather around us, the cosmos beyond us. All things come from God, are sustained by God, and exist for the purpose of ultimately glorifying Him. So farmers, think about it. Do you realize that if you are dependent upon nature for your livelihood, in essence, you are dependent upon your heavenly Father? Because the rain falls because He's the architect and the agent and the appraiser of the rain. The snow comes because He is the author, the source, the sustenance of this land. God is in creation every single day. Farmers, you plant a crop, there's absolutely nothing wrong bowing your knee before your heavenly Father and asking for rain because you know He's the source of it. But every time you pray for rain, it would be good for you to say, "Nevertheless, Thy will be done." Because if God sends a drought contrary to your prayer, the drought is of Him, through Him, and to Him. This is why we don't know what we ought to pray. We don't know how we ought to pray regarding nature. You know, it's always amusing. Well, when people, maybe even preachers, do this, they stand up and they ask God for pretty weather for the church picnic. Well, now that's great. Maybe we want pretty weather for the picnic. Oh, but now listen to me. We got to be careful here because we don't know what we ought to pray. Because all things are of Him, through Him, to Him. That's why we can pray for good weather, or pray for rain, or pray for snow, or pray that the hurricane move around us, or pray that the tornado not come. But we have to say, "Nevertheless, Thy will be done." Because all things are of Him, through Him, and to Him. You say, "Pastor, now wait a minute. You're saying even the tornado on May 3rd that killed people is of God, through God, and ultimately to God?" Yes. You say, "Now wait a minute, you're talking about those fires in California or that volcano in the South Pacific that erupted? You're saying all of this is of God, through God, and ultimately redounds to the glory of God?" Yes. You say, "How? People died." Well, what's the problem? The Bible says Christ holds the keys of life and death, and the death of a righteous person is a blessing. When a wicked person dies, they stand before their Creator, and they receive his judgment, in which he takes no delight or pleasure. But he will condemn the wicked, and even the condemnation of the wicked in death, ultimately redound to the glory of a holy God. What about your salvation? What about your faith in Christ? What about your repentance of sin? What about the fact that you're here this morning and have a desire for the things of God? Where did that come from? Are you smarter than other people? Do you think that you just saw it and other people didn't? No, it's of him, through him, to him. You see, you were saved and brought to faith in Jesus Christ. You were given the gifts of grace because ultimately God is going to use you as a trophy of grace for his glory. You say, well, Pastor, I understand that, but you know, I made a decision and I came to faith in Christ and I know now God is going to be glorified through what I've done. Oh, no, now listen. You're getting it in reverse. See, you're thinking you've done something and now God will get glory because of what you've done. What I'm saying is God did something in you to cause you to be who you are in order that he might be glorified. You say, well, now, wait a minute, I can understand salvation, but what about the wicked? What about those who do not have faith in Christ? Those who will be judged. What about that? Of him, through him, to him. In other words, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, God hath not appointed us to bear his wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Now, if God hath not appointed us to bear his wrath, it seems that he must appoint others to bear his wrath. So that we can even say that the death of the wicked ultimately redound to the glory of God. Even those who die in their sins will find that God is glorified through the expression of his wrath, the expression of his judgment, the expression of his holiness, the expression of his justice. You say, oh, now, just a second. I don't understand that. There are so many wicked people. How can God be glorified by the sins of wicked people? Well, let me remind you of what Paul said. I don't fully understand it. But you remember when Paul was talking to some people who'd been wronged? Christians who had evil perpetrated against them. Do you remember Paul said to them, do not take vengeance. And why did he say that? He said, and he quotes from the Old Testament of the Lord, I am the Lord. It is mine to repay, and I will. You see, it seems to me that the Adolf Hitlers of this world and people who are apart from Christ, who have perpetrated crimes against humanity, who have violated the laws of God, it seems to me that even those horrible, horrific things that have happened of him, through him, to him, are all things. One of these days, those men will stand before their Creator. And God will make right that which is wrong. He will repay for the sins and crimes of his creatures. You say, oh, but I've sinned against my Creator as well. Of course, you and I have. And this is where faith in Christ is so essential. This is the message of Christmas. God himself has come for us. And if we believe in Christ, the scripture says, God hath not appointed wrath for us. Oh, but if we're saved, our salvation is of him, through him, to him. And when the wicked die, their reprobation and their condemnation is of him, through him, to him. It all redounds to the glory of a sovereign God in every situation. Not just creation, not just salvation, but in every situation. All things are brought about by the eternal agent, the eternal architect, the eternal appraiser. All things are brought about for his glory. What about your life? I was visiting with a mother this past week who had tears because of the diagnosis of a disease. in her child, and she was sad, and she has the right to be sad. Being a human being sometimes hurts. I mean, there's pain. Nobody can avoid it. But in the midst of those tears, I was able to remind her that this disease is not an accident. It is of Him. It is through Him. It is to Him. Got a young man, 40 years old. So he has heart disease. Beautiful wife, wonderful family. He's in Presbyterian Hospital. We've got Daryl who's stricken with a disease, and all of us are praying for Daryl. I mean, it looked like he was going to die, but the Lord seems to have pulled him through. But now watch. The pulling through of Daryl, or the successful surgery of this 40-year-old man, we have to give God the credit of him, through him, to him. But if Daryl would have died, if the young man wouldn't have made it, we say the same thing. Of him, through him, to him are all things. You've been diagnosed with cancer, and your heart is sad. And you think to yourself, I'm not, unless God intervenes, I'm not going to see my grandkids. You think to yourself, I'm not going to be around to enjoy life. I understand the sadness. Oh, please, hear me. It's not that you're not to be sad. There is sadness. Why? Because we don't understand fully what God is doing. But I can gently remind you of this truth. There are no accidents. Of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. He's the architect. He's the agent. He's the appraiser. Ah, see, here's the problem. We go around and we're so tied up in knots. We are so worried about what might happen. We are so worried about the future. We're so worried about tomorrow. We're so worried about what so-and-so might do against us. We're so worried about the future of this world. We think to ourselves, where's everything headed? I'll tell you. Of Him, through Him, to Him, everything, all things are authored by Him. He is the agent of them. He appraises it, and it will all redound to His glory. We know the story of Joseph. Put yourself in his shoes. Good grief, his brothers, who should have loved him, hated him. They sold him into slavery. They took his coat. They poured animal blood on it. They told their dad that he was dead. For all they knew, they'd never see him again. He goes down to Egypt, becomes second in command in charge of food distribution. Back in Israel, his brothers and his dad enter into a time of famine. They need food. The only place that has food is Egypt. And so they go down to Egypt to get some. This is several years later. Joseph, through the providence of God, is now in charge of food distribution. Their brothers stand before Joseph. They don't recognize him. He's got a tan. He's got longer hair, different dress, speaks a different language. They don't even know that it's their brother. They ask for food, he gives it to them. And then before they leave, he reveals himself to them. And the Bible says their knees knock. Why? They're scared. Why? Because they've done evil against their brother. But you know what the Bible says Joseph said to his brothers? Listen to this now. Genesis 15, verse 19. What you did is evil. God intended for good to accomplish His purpose. His purpose was to provide food for Israel, to ultimately bring glory to the fact that His people were saved from starvation. But the only way that God could provide food for the people of Israel is to have somebody in position in Egypt to distribute it. And the only way somebody in Israel could get down to Egypt was as a prisoner, because the Egyptians were the enemies of the nation of Israel. And so guess what? Joseph has this crime perpetrated against him. But it seems to me that Joseph has a very keen understanding of this phrase, of him, through him, to him are all things. Therefore, when these things happen, now think with me. He had to have been sad as he's shackled by the Egyptians or the traders at the time going down to Egypt. He had to be sad. He had to be sad about the prospect of not spending time with his brothers, being gone from his father. He had to be sad about his life being spent in prison for the first several years in Egypt. He had to be sad. He's a human being. But when he stands before his brothers years later, he's got a perspective about it. And he says, it was of him, it was through him, it was to him. All things happen for a good reason. This is why even evil done to you is ultimately of God, through God, and to God. Notice, God does not create the evil or the wickedness, but he does decree it. He decrees the evil, and thus we can call it good that evil exists. Now listen carefully. To say that it is good that evil exists is not the same thing as saying that evil is good. Let me say that again for those of you who might have missed it. To say it is good that evil exists is not the same thing as saying that evil is good. But I can tell you that when evil things happen, it is ultimately good. What everybody else intends as evil, God intends for good to accomplish his purpose. So this leads me to the closing statement of this text. Not only do we see a doctrine to grasp, which is the first portion of it, but we see a devotion to give. It's the last portion of this verse where the Bible says, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You see, when a person understands the doctrine of this verse, he will be able to rest and relax. What is it that concerns you? All things are of him, through him, and to him. Do you find yourself in an unexpected, surprising situation? God is working that situation to bring glory to himself. In other words, every event of your life, whether it be the weather, your circumstances, your salvation, any situation you can comprehend, God is at work revealing to you one of his attributes that he might be glorified through you. It could be that God is teaching you about his mercy or his grace. It could be that he's wanting to reveal his sufficiency to you. It may be that God is teaching you of his faithfulness when man is unfaithful, or of his power, or even of his righteous judgments. To him belongs the glory forever. You come to me and you say, Pastor, I would like for you to explain how this situation in my life, God can in any form or fashion use as good. I had a lady ask me that just a few weeks ago after a message on rending one's veil. How can you tell me, her husband had died, how can you tell me that this can be ultimately for good? You know what my response is? Are you ready now? We have such a low view of good that if I defined good by your terms, I might have a hard time explaining to you how what happened could be good. But the Bible defines good as anything that ultimately glorifies God. That's good. And the scripture says, all things ultimately glorify Him. Of Him. Through Him. To Him are all things. To Him belongs the glory. Would you quit worrying about those things that you're worried about? Would you quit being tied up in knots about those events you have no control over? God is the architect. God is the agent. God appraises the situation. And all things work for His glory. I close with this story. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was saved when he got up one Sunday morning and he was on his way to a church that was not evangelical. It was his custom to attend church, but the gospel was never presented. But a snowstorm came, and Mr. Spurgeon, at the tender age of 13, walked by himself to his church, but was unable to make his way to the church because of the storm. So he turned aside into a primitive Methodist chapel. The preacher couldn't make the service that morning, so a farmer stood up, and Spurgeon said, with a bony finger, he pointed to his text, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." And then took that bony finger and pointed at me and said, "Young man, have you ever looked to Jesus Christ for your salvation?" Spurgeon said, "I was not accustomed to being addressed to directly from the pulpit. And so I lowered my head," and he said, "Young man, look at me. Have you ever looked to Jesus as you are looking to me?" And Spurgeon said, the truth of the gospel and the message of that farmer seared home to his heart. And in that primitive chapel, there's a plaque today that represents the spot where Spurgeon came to faith in Christ. That young man who later led tens of thousands of people to faith in Jesus Christ was saved. Now, what would you say? Would you say that the snowstorm was a storm that blew in because of the winds off the Atlantic and the northern front from Scotland? Or would you say, of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Don't forget this doctrine. It will help you give proper devotion to your God.